Hello, hello, hello. Hi there. We're the Radical Remnant. Everyone, anyone, one God. Welcome to our podcast channel. Today, we bring you a playback of Sunday's Charge Up. We hope that you listen with your spirit and are blessed.
Now, we've been going through this transformational journey, right? We've been talking about transformation. It's the word that's on our lips, it's the word we're using, and you know, we're fully committing to transforming. This commitment is built and hinged on the fact that we understand that as we have become Christians, we've given our lives to God. The spirit side of things is sorted, is perfect, you know, which is why when people die, they leave the body behind. The spirit goes back to God. The soul is there, is where the headache is. So that's why sometimes people don't indeed rest in peace, because the soul was never fully transformed. Do you get my point? So we've been working on this soul aspect of our lives, because that soul is where the headache is. That soul is where the further math is. That soul is where the questions are. And we learned what the soul is. The soul is the thinker, the feeler, and the anybody. Because I've been repeating myself. The chooser, thank you. The soul is the thinker, the feeler, the chooser, meaning that how we feel, what we think, what we choose, how we behave, it's all there in the soul. Meaning also that the mind is there in the soul. We understand that, which is why for a lot of us, we talked about the fact that we give our lives to God and we think, oh yeah, abracadabra, everything is going to be pretty, it's going to be cute. But then we don't sort out this transformation thing. We never transform. We never indeed transform. So the spirit side of things is great. We know what we ought to be doing, but then the struggle is just a question mark. And that's why most people fall into this cyclical thing of giving their lives to Christ, falling flat on the face, going back to rededicate, and so on and so forth. So now that we've been talking about transformation for about 6+ weeks, maybe 7, I wanted us to now build on that. And you see, you can't quite deal with things like identity and purpose if the mind is wrong. I remember one of the things that we said was if the wrong believing has affected our identity, because we believe, if you believe wrong, then everything built on that belief will be messy, right? We remember that. So now we are working on what do we believe and how do we believe. And if you're just joining us, I'm giving a recap so that whatever it is we're discussing will be built on that. And you're welcome to please listen to the podcast so that you can kind of play catch up. But you don't really need to do that to understand some of the things I'm going to say today. In fact, all of the things I'm going to say. Now that you are aware that your relationship with God doesn't have to be transactional, now that you know that you are work in progress, now that you are also, for some of us, committing to the transformation process, and we're having our conversations with God Monday to Thursday, and we do these things where we really reflect, right? For those of you who have been there, where we really reflect on how our day has been, we catch ourselves out on the way we think, we catch ourselves out on where the problems are, and we're trying to now do what? Transform. Now that we're doing this, now that we have all this in the bag and we're committing to that process, now what? The whole idea of when someone says, who are you? It's not necessarily to challenge you or to make you feel like you need to give an answer. Because for many of us, especially those of us that are used to having the right answers in class, you know, those of us that are ethicals or just don't like someone catching us out and you were wrong, those of us that need to have an answer, you know, there are some of us that if there's an argument, we need to have the last word. For those of us who have that character, when people ask us important questions, before even thinking about the question, we have an answer. And so that impulse, that reflex, that behavior, that need, that defensive need to come to our own defense has put some of us in this hamster's wheel, you know, of just pleasing, people performing, you know, just perpetually being on, if you like. And we've gotten used to that in a way that it has affected how we even do our relationship with Christ. Meaning that in this day and age, for example, you know, let's use this analogy. It's like how people say, you know, if you don't post, your relationship is not real. These very shallow thoughts, right? Of, if you don't post your relationship on IG, then is it really real kind of thing? We feel like if we don't do the show and tell of Christianity, then is it really, really real? And so even when we go to church, even when we are in fellowship, even when it's just two people praying, there's a performance. There's a performance. If we want to be honest with ourselves, there's a tone of voice. There's a script. Even when there's even this script that is subconsciously pre-rehearsed, that has some cliches in it. You just throw it in, but you do it to kind of sound like it just happened in the moment. Like, yes, I'm really flowing with the Holy Spirit. And the way you know is that most of us, when we pray, don't even listen. The prayer is one way. So it's just blah, 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 blah. And that's why even in the Bible, Jesus talked about noisy, you know, we're just making noise sometimes. It's not really conversation with God. And I just want all, you know, a lot of what we're doing in terms of transforming is pausing to ask ourselves tough questions. It's pausing to tell ourselves the truth. Remember that we here, we're not trying to do Christianity the way it's been done. And that is not to now say we are the ones that know everything. In fact, the first thing we say is we don't know. We're on a journey of discovery, aren't we? And in not knowing, we're asking ourselves tough questions. We are saying that we really want to know God, our creator. We want to understand as much as God will give us the capacity. We are saying we don't want to live 80 years, 90 years based on what someone said and no personal relationship with God, then get to heaven and realize that we were just wasting time doing it all wrong. That's what we are saying, isn't it? So when someone says, who are you? Ideally, you should keep quiet to think, right? And then go and ask the person who created you, wait, who am I? Do you understand? And there are many, many, many promises, hints, analogies, proverbs, parables in the Bible that help to answer that question. And I want to sit on one today. Okay? As I'm doing this, as we're having this conversation, I need it to be at the back of your mind, that this is all to answer the question, who am I? Because as you are transforming your mind, you don't want to lay the process on top of a lie. You don't want to lay this transformation process and build it on top of falsehood, on top of somebody else's answer. Do you get? It's like if you want to become a medical doctor, for example, and somebody sat the MCATs for you, the exam you guys do to become doctors, or you brainiacs, right? Eventually, are you not going to have to practice the medicine? It won't work. So as children of God, this is the thing. This is who we say we are, right? It is what we profess. Nobody can now sit down and do the exam of identity for you. No one can do your identity analogy for you. Nobody can answer the question for you. It needs to be built on this personal relationship with God. And this is why, like Tekena was saying, we can't do religion. We can't just be doing the show and tell of Christianity. We can't be those people who go to church and only just raise our hands because we want to look deep. We can't be those people who are afraid to say, I'm struggling. We can't be the people who are afraid to say, I need counsel, I need therapy. We can't be the people who are afraid to say, you know what, I've been doing some thinking and I come from a long line of, you know, maybe narcissists or people pleasers or verbal abusers or people who believed in gods and deities, and there may be some trouble there. We can't be those people who are just perpetually moody and irritable. You know, there are just some people who are like that. We also, let me lay this one thick, have to be very clear, because you guys are the generation after me, right? We cannot, I say for me, raise a moody, dysfunctional, irritable, easily moved, easily shaken, easily broken generation. We can't raise a generation that cannot answer questions, that takes offense when somebody asks a question. We cannot do that. We cannot raise a generation that will not be able to hold on to marriage, that will not be able to raise children, that every single thing will be somebody else's fault. We cannot raise an entitled generation. We cannot raise a confused generation. And this is why this community exists. Do you understand me so far? And so Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16 says, and I've gone to the King James Version because I wanted the word candle in it. The other ones, in trying to, you know how as translations go, things get modified. And then we sometimes may lose the essence of what we're trying to learn. It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under, please in your journals just write under, a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth what? Light unto all that are in the house. Please write all, and or rather highlight all. It then follows on to say, let your light so do what? Shine. Please highlight shine before men, that they may see, highlight see, your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm almost certain that everybody here has heard this scripture before. Yes or no? We've heard it. And so you are reading it and thinking subconsciously, some whose mind said, okay, let's see what we're going to bring out of this today. Some of you have also heard it and are like, thank you for reminding me. But I want those two thoughts to come out so that we can learn afresh. Because remember that as we transform, we're treating ourselves like brand new babies. Okay? And then we choose what we still want to keep after the lesson. Are you guys still with me? So let's break that down. It says you are the light of the world. So let's stop there. For me, this scripture has not been as needed, as important, and as relevant as it is today. Because if you look outside, and when I say look outside, I don't mean looking with your physical eyes. I mean discern. The world that we live in is dark. And I know I've said this before. The world that we live in is dark. You don't even need to be a soothsayer. You don't need to be some babalawo. You don't need to be anything. You don't need to be deep to know that the world that we live in is dark. And let's just do a quick mental survey. How many of you are 1 degree have one degree of separation from depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, mental health illness. One degree, you know someone close to you that has all, in fact, maybe all what I just even mentioned. You know someone close to you who is having or has had a manic episode. You know someone close to you who is suffering from deep, deep, deep addiction. Like, not the cute kind where sometimes I just take weed. Not that's still cute. I mean, if I don't take this and this and this, I can't function. And even then, this happens. And this is not even to put those people down, though, because these are actual diseases. Addiction is a disease. Okay, so it's not because somebody is bad. Let's make sure we put that out there. You are aware that you're just one degree of separation from these things. And you don't see that the world is dark. If by virtue of just the world that you see, if you're just looking at the world that you see, what is your projection for the next 5 years? What does it look like? What does the projection of the next 10 years look like? The only way to change that is to change what we see, i.e., in the reflection, your reflection, you. And you know, there's so many cliches now, but if we sometimes look at the root of the cliche, there is meaning. When people say, be the change you want to see in the world, there's meaning behind that. But now it's become very, so everybody says it. So when this thing says you are the light of the world, let us put it in the context of the world that we live in today, not in the context of even what Jesus said then. In the world that we live in today, how desperate are we for light? And it's weird because the Bible says you are that light. It's interesting. Don't you sometimes watch the news or hear about stuff and you're like, you hear something and you're like, God will help that person. After you've heard everything, you're just like, God will really help that person. I really hope that person finds help. And da, 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 da. You push it away. It's not your issue. It's not your problem. You keep pushing it and you push it. And then one day it lands exactly at your doorstep. And then you realize that maybe you should have done something about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll give you a quick analogy. I live in, right now I'm in an apartment building, right? And we're on the 7th floor. So, and it's the last floor. So typically anything that's happening on the ground floor is not my business. You know, if someone throws something on the floor, it's not my business. But one day I said to myself that all of us have to pass this reception area to go up. So it's not just the business of the people on the first floor that are obviously affected by it. We all share that same space. So I bring that to you. It's not just the responsibility of the people who are affected by these things, because we all share this same world. We're all in the same world. So I'm saying that is the first thing is that this battle is personal. So if you're putting anything in your notes, I'm going to emphasize, please put that in your note. It's a personal thing. Treat as personal, treat as urgent. And it's not my own thing is not even to now bring doom and gloom. It's to even energize you, okay? So what I'm saying is now not to make you depressed, please. Everything I say now, when I hear new things, when I get wisdom, when there's a revelation, I don't spend too much time. I don't even spend any time now feeling bad. I'm just like, okay, so what am I supposed to do? And I want that to be your mindset. You hear something, okay, God, so what is the action? What is supposed to change here? What needs to be transformed? The next, we go on in that scripture. It says, you are the light of the world. It then says, then think about the fact that a lot of the things that Christ said, he felt the need to try and explain it. I sometimes think of how Christ saw things and how he had to go through the burden of translating it in a way that his disciples and those who heard him would understand. It's kind of like a kindergarten teacher. Do you understand? How they get the complexity of what they are trying to explain to little children who are only just learning to read and all that. And they have to make it into song and dance and all that so it will stick. A lot of the parables, a lot of the analogy that Jesus used, really, really, he's trying to make it simple so you can get it. Because it then goes on to say, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Hid. Something that is hidden is like a secret, isn't it? When you hide something, you don't want it to be found. You don't want it to be discovered. And when you hide, you don't put it in a place anybody can what? Easily see. So then let's look at our own selves. Most of us, where we are sitting as light, and this was something that I was saying to the Radical Remnant team yesterday. Most of us, where we are sitting as light, are hidden. Intentionally safe for many of us, but with good, and permit me to say, sexy reasoning. You know, I'm just kind of low key. I don't really do like crowds and, you know, so I like my space. I don't like the noise of things. I just like to be in my own space. And actually, I'm an introvert. You know, you might not know it, but actually I'm an introvert. So, you know, all those social things. And, you know, please, even as Christians, I don't like Christians that are just like, you know, Christians can just be in your face. I don't want to be one of those people in your face. We have all kinds of reasoning as to why we just want to do my thing. It's just me and God. Just talk to God. It's a private. My relationship with God is private, and I just want to do my thing. Okay, you are doing your thing, but your thing is not supposed to stop at you. So what do you actively do to come out of your hiding place? Because here, Tekena says something that she chooses. She has to choose to commit to transformation. She used the word choice. And I find it interesting a lot. Sometimes when I dialogue with myself or with God, yes, I do talk to myself. And yes, the conversations are sometimes outlandish. And yes, I speak outwardly. It's not in my head. There are actual long-winded conversations with myself. So I didn't say that. It was not a mistake. Sometimes when I speak with myself and sometimes when I speak with God, I just wonder how God was so magnanimous to give us choice. I sometimes think it's a thing where, you know, when you're in a relationship, it makes it all the better. It makes you feel, there's glory in knowing the person chose you and continues to choose you. And you know, the Bible refers to Christ as the bridegroom. So that's where I've landed, is that when we choose God every day, there's glory. You know, the glory, there's glory we bring to him. We glorify him by choosing him. It is not by force. And that worship is all the more sweeter. So I say that to now say this. God gave us the choice, but gave us the advice. And you know how they say, when you know better, you do better. So, but most of us, because there's this choice thing, we're like, oh, well, I could, I couldn't. But I actually think that if you actually are committed to the process of transformation, you realize you don't have a choice and you just do what God tells you to do. And here God is saying that a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, which brings me to the fact that every single one of you, if you want to be honest, you know that there is greatness within you. You know that you have some kind of star power. In fact, I'm very certain that for many of you, in different conversations, you would have been told you are different. You would have been told you are unique, whether by your parents, by your friends, one auntie, one uncle, church, a friend, whatever. Somebody would have at some point said, you know that even when you were born, da-da-da-da-da-da, there will be a story. There will be things that people observe and say, do you realize that da-da-da-da-da-da? And in your heart, deep in your heart, you know. You have some kind of star power. Star power not meaning that you're going to fill an arena. Star power not meaning that you're always going to be on a stage or in front of things. But star power meaning that you know that you have some level of influence. There's something different about you. There's something that people see that brings them close to you. There's something you have that somebody else doesn't have. There's a way maybe you encourage, there's a way you take care of people, or there's a way that you listen that is different, or there's a way you worship, or there's a way you are kind, or there's a way you are funny, or there's a way you teach and explain things, or there's a way you look out for people. There's a way you sing, dance, you know, preach, whatever. There's something. And deep within you, you know. But because sometimes we have confused the fact that your gift will make room for you and bring you before kings, we think that that gift is supposed to be the obvious thing. We all think the gift is supposed to be in front. But let me tell you, there are some people who are the best sound engineers in this world, and nobody ever gets to know them. But don't they still win Grammys? Do you understand my point? So you should know that whatever it is that is within you is that city that is set up on a hill. There is something within you that is supposed to be seen. And it says a city that is set up on a hill cannot, not should not, cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under. Many of us have dreams, ideas, thoughts that we put under. We just file it under. We don't let it come out. We don't let it manifest. We put it under a bushel, but it's supposed to be on a candlestick on display. And then it says it giveth light. So it's not just about the candle. The candle also gives light. And what does light do? Light illuminates. Light gives hope. Light gives hope. It's just the same way the Bible says that, the scripture about, joy comes in the morning, right? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Because with the morning, with each sunrise, there is hope. As light comes, there is hope. As the sun rises, there is hope. Do you understand what I'm saying? So as you are supposed to be illuminating by whatever gift, by whatever talent, by whatever effort, by whatever dream or vision or talent or skill, capacity that you have. And it says that it giveth light to all that are in the house. That house is some kind of analogy of your space, of the people you are called to. So you should be asking yourself, where is my house? Who is my house? So if this Radical Remnant community is a house in and of itself, how do you give light to this community? How do you add value to this community? And this is the part that I believe is tricky, where we got it wrong. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we thought that the works here were the acts, the works. Do you understand? So we started to work to show so that they will see the good acts. But the works here, the languaging of this, if you research it, is the manifestation of the light. Do you understand? Meaning that the light is what it is. So by virtue of it being what it is, it illuminates. Not that the light now tries to become the light, which is what many of us were doing. Do you understand? Many of us were trying very hard to become something. And so we were acting it out, forgetting that we already are light and that light illuminates. So the light is not an act, it's a manifestation. So how do you begin to manifest your light? What do you need to start to put together, invest in, learn, nurture to manifest your light? And when the Bible says that they may see, it doesn't mean that you will now be so obvious so that people can see. It's that people will begin to observe you without even asking them to, because it is what it is. If there is a candle that is lit in this room, it is lit. It is just lit so I can see it. It doesn't have to now be doing some kind of funny thing for me to say, oh, see the light on the candle. So you don't have to start to pretend or act or or be religious or self-righteous, because you are already light. But you, all you have to do is not be hidden, is come from under where you have been hiding, under the rock, and allow God manifest your light. And while I'm at it, just because I can, that same scripture talks about how you are the salt of the world. So I might as well just talk about that very quickly. You are the salt of the world, meaning that you're supposed to be adding flavor to your house, to your space. So my question to you is, where is your source? A lot of us have become boring. A lot of us don't bring any sauce, any spice, any flavor to anything that we do. There's no difference by virtue of us being involved in something. And that in and of itself is not what Christ wanted. He wanted it to be such that people will say, ah, if Ife is on that team, man, things are going to be dynamic. Things are going to change. You get what I'm trying to say? Ah, Ife is involved. Man, I'm looking forward to how. Do you understand? Not because Ife will now start doing show and tell and trying to be anything, but she's just who she is. She knows who she is. Remember, I started with who are you? She knows who she is. She understands that she is light, and she is manifesting that light, which brings us to grace. Remember, we said that when we give our lives to Christ, we come under grace and not under the law. And under grace means that we are not doing a transactional relationship with Christ. We surrender to Christ, we give our lives to Christ, and then we allow Christ to work in us. The Bible says, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, according to the power that is already at work within us. Who is the owner of the power? It is God. That work that is now within us is where the light begins to shine. So you cannot now manifest light without Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so why did I call it candles? And I'm wrapping up now. Is that each of you, you are light in a world that is so dark. You are light in schools and church and environments, friendship groups and whatever else that need light, that need your light. And the beautiful thing about candles is that they also act as a lighter. So you, if you've grown up in Nigeria, you might have seen people, you know, use one candle to light up another one. So candles only don't only just bring light for themselves. They also light up other people. And that's where I would like to end today. This is so simple that you can lose the meaning of it and simplify it to the point that you're like, oh, well, okay, that was easy. But as we say, I would like for everyone, as we go through the week, to dip it. Do you understand? Like, really sit down and just like, sit with it a little bit and ask yourself these tough questions.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed by that. For more wholesome, edifying content and to learn more about us, please head over to our Instagram page at The Radical Remnant. Also, join us live for Charge Up on Sunday. We've reserved a spot just for you. All the details can be found on our Instagram. Once again, we're the Radical Remnant. Everyone, anyone, one God.